The following is a presentation from Mount Greylock Baptist Church. Mount Greylock Baptist is a Bible-based church located in North Adams, Massachusetts. For more resources, please visit our website, mountgreylockbaptist.com.
All right, so I want to preach you a message this morning that I think will be beneficial to all of us. But really what I want to do this... It's the beginning of the year. It's kind of the beginning of the year. And so I've decided this morning that I'm going to distinguish the worst member of Mount Greylock Baptist Church for the year 2014. This was the most despicable and ungodly member of our church. Maybe that's why Ethan's not here. No, it's not here. But that's who I'm going to identify. In fact, I'm going to identify not only the worst member of First Bible Baptist Church, Mount Greylock Baptist Church. I'm going to identify the worst member of your family today. And maybe that's why David came today. I'm not sure. Or if you're on the bowling team, I'm going to identify the worst member of your bowling team. The worst. So, you wonder who that is. And some of you are looking around like, hey, who's that going to be? So take your Bibles, if you would, this morning and turn to the book of James, chapter number 3. James chapter 3, because James chapter 3 identifies the worst member of this church. And James chapter 3 identifies the worst member of your family. And so we want to see that this morning from God's Word. This member is despicable and disruptive and sometimes disgraceful. James chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, the Bible says, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation." Still hear some pages turning. I'll wait to get you, for you to get there. "For many things we offend all." No, hold on. Wait for you to get. I want you to all turn. James chapter 3 in the New Testament. If you find the book of Hebrews, then turn to the next book. That's the book of James. If you work your way back for the book of Revelation. Revelation, then Jude, then 3 John, 2 John, 1 John, 2 Peter, 1 Peter, then you hit the book of James. Chapter 3. All right, I'll start again. "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beasts, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine, figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of the righteous is sown in peace, and them that make peace. Let's pray. We ask and pray, Lord, that you'd bless the message this morning. Help us to think about these truths that are presented for us here in the book of James and make application to our lives. And we ask and pray, Lord, although I'm not preaching per se a message on salvation, but I pray, Holy Spirit, perhaps there's one here today that has never received Christ as their Savior. We would pray, Holy Spirit, that you'd bring conviction to their heart and mind and soul, and they would come to know Jesus today. But for those of us that have already accepted Christ, we pray that this message would be instructional, that we would learn what we would be taught from it, that we would come under conviction and be encouraged to make application. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm sure you've figured it out. The member that we're talking about this morning is the tongue. The little member, the Bible says here in the text, verse 5, even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. I thought about preaching this message several weeks ago. I finished up last Sunday our series of messages on King David. But I thought about preaching this message. I've preached it actually before. It's an important message because what we say to one another and the conversations that we have are very important. And the Bible gives quite a bit of instruction, as you'll see as I get on in this message. But I saw a cute cartoon. I saw it, I think, on Facebook or somewhere I saw it. The cartoon went something like this. It said, some people need to use chapstick, while other people need to use glue stick. So you kind of think that through. It isn't that true. Sometimes the things that we say, we would be better off if we just did not say them. Can I get an amen? 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 And we're all guilty of that. We all are. I was reading in a commentary this week, a preacher was talking to one of his other preacher friends, and he had a woman in the church that just had a real problem with things that she said all the time. And so he was telling this friend of his, he said, she came to me and she said, Pastor, she said, oh, the Lord has convicted me about my tongue and about the things that I say. And I want to go to the altar and I want to lay it on the altar. Bring it before the Lord. And he said he thought about what she had to say and he really doubted whether she was very sincere about this. And so he said to her, Madam, he said, I'm not sure there's an altar big enough for you to lay your tongue on. And she kind of cocked her head and walked away and needed to think about that for a few minutes. I guess she had a real problem with what she had to say. But the tongue, it's just a little member. And it can be many things. And we need to think about this morning. And so, the point of my message this morning is not necessarily to give you a tongue lashing. But it's for you to just think about and to learn about what the Scriptures have to say here. And how important it is that we heed this. And you young people, especially in school. Now, I remember when my kids, forget about, when my kids were growing up, we brought them to the Y to teach them how to swim. And I can remember being in the YMCA locker room with just young kids. And the language that was coming out of their mouth, I was like, wow. I remember when my kids were involved in Little League, my son Aaron was kind of bold about this, but sometimes when some of the kids on the team would use foul language, my son Aaron would tell them, hey, knock it off, he'd say. Knock it off. Problem was the coaches used some of that language too. They needed to knock it off. But you teenagers, you kids that are in school, Listen, let me tell you that the Bible tells you that one day you'll stand before God and give an account. Are you listening? The Bible says that you'll stand and you'll give an account. Listen to what Jesus said. He said, I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. So it has a real, it matters. And listen to what the Scriptures have to say and let the Holy Spirit speak to your heart. You know, it's one thing to come to church and use one type of language. It's another thing to be in your homes or schools at work and use another type of language. See, we're to be ambassadors for Christ. And you'll see that, I think, from the Scriptures here. The importance of the tongue. There's 5 points to this message. Number one is this, the importance of the tongue, verses 1 and 2. Look at it again. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all, if any man offend not in word. And see that little phrase there, offend not? That word offend, it means to attack, to assail, to insult, to harm, to hurt. If any man offend not in word. So be careful of your words, that they're not words that attack or assail or insult or harm or hurt. You know, words can have a negative nature and words can have a positive nature. Words can build up and words can tear down. Words can be instructive and words can be very destructive. So important. So if any man offend not, it says in verse 2, in word, the same is a perfect man. That word perfect, or a mature man. You know, historically, some of the things that have been said and written have been very destructive. I read this some time ago. I wrote it down so I wouldn't forget it. But previous to World War II, Adolf Hitler wrote a book entitled Mein Kampf. And you know, they say that for every word, every destructive word that Hitler wrote in that book, every word, they said, at least 125 people died for every word that he wrote. Very destructive was the words that he wrote and that which people read. And words can be that way. So we need to remember how important it is, the things that we say. The things that we say to one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. The things that we say to our children. The things that we say to our wives. The things that we say to our husbands. One of my favorite Bible commentators writes from the very day I received Christ as my Savior was a man by the name of Dr. Harry Ironside. Listen to what Ironside said about this text. He said, admittedly, there is no perfection even among the choicest of God's children. He said, in many things we all stumble. If one could be found who was never guilty of a slip of the tongue, who never uttered a faulty expression, nor gave vent to an idle or vain word, he would be thoroughly mature, a well-balanced man, perfect as to his behavior, and able to hold in restraint every unholy propensity. For there is no part of the body so difficult to control, Ironside said, of course James said it, as the tongue. It's true. Our tongues sometimes, it seems it's very difficult to control them. In Romans, you don't need to turn there, but in Romans chapter number 6 and verse number 13, let me read this for you here. Romans chapter 6 and verse 13, it says this. Neither yield ye your members, and there the word members, it's just not talking about, you know, when it talks about members in James or in Romans, it's talking about the parts of our body. So there in James it's talking about not only the tongue, but our eyes, our ears, our feet, our hands. So Paul says to us, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, as your members are instruments of righteousness unto God. So listen, whether it's your tongue, whether it's your ears, your eyes, whatever your body part, we're supposed to yield that unto righteousness, not unto unrighteousness. So, of course, this morning the topic is the tongue. And so the things that we say, is our conversation, is it righteous or is it unrighteous? Does it bring honor to the Lord, or does it dishonor the Lord? Does it build up our brothers and sisters in Christ, or does it drag them down? Does it build up our children or our spouses, or does it drag them down? Is it destructive? Remember what Jesus said, that every idle word that we speak, that we shall give an account of that. And so it's very important what we say. But secondly is the illustrations that are found here. Look at verses 3 and 4. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths and that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. And then in verse 4, the illustration is a ship. Though they be so great and they are driven of a fierce wind, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. And so if you've ever ridden a horse, when I was younger, I got to do quite a bit of horseback riding, and you put that bit in the horse's mouth, and that horse is a massive animal. It's a strong animal. I realized one day I was the importance of leading that horse correctly, and I was in my late teens, and I was leading a horse, and I was not doing it as I ought to have. That horse reared around and kicked me and broke three of my ribs. I can tell you, a horse has got a lot of power to it. But yet the bit, which is proportionately so much smaller than the horse, that's how you can control that horse. Or a ship the size of this building, the rudder for that ship maybe wouldn't be much bigger than the size of this pulpit, and you have this huge ship, and yet that small rudder determines whether that ship turns to, what would it be, the starboard side, or that ship turns to the, what's the other word? The port side. So the tongue is that way. It's just a small part of our body, but it can be a very powerful part of our body. Just as it turned the horse and it turns the ship, it directs and it points and it aims. Bible, we see the power and the importance of the Word of God. If you read through the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 3, the Apostle Peter stood up and he preached the Word of God. And the Bible says that 3,000 people came to know Christ as their Savior. Actually, it's 3,000 men. It doesn't tell us how many children or women came to know the Lord. And then in the following chapter, he preaches and 5,000 come to know the Lord. The power of God's Word. And as we speak, just a small member like the bridle and like the or the bit and like the helm of, or the rudder of a ship, and yet it means so much. I was reading in John chapter 4, and there is Jesus, and he's in Samaria speaking to the Samaritan woman at the well, and the Samaritans and the Jews they didn't speak to one another, but there Jesus is trying to reach her and trying to share who he was with her. And she listens, and she comes to know Jesus Christ as her Messiah. And the Bible says she goes back to her town, to the town of Sychar, and she says, "Come, come and see a man who told me everything about me." And the Scriptures tell us that because of her testimony, that many in that town came to know Christ as their Savior. And then because of her testimony, because of the things that she said, there she was, a Samaritan, and she said, "Come, Samaritans, and hear what this Jewish man has to say." And they all went, many in the town went, and a great majority of the town came to know Christ as their Savior. The tongue is very powerful, whether it's bringing people to Christ or whether it's encouraging one another, or the opposite of that is to discourage one another. So never forget the importance of what you say in your homes, in a church, and to our family members. And remember the illustration that we're given here. But then there's the iniquity of the tongue. And that's why we need to be careful. Verses 5 and 6. "Even so, the tongue is a little member, and it boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth." Just a little fire. "And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and it setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on the fire of hell." When we were in California some years ago, we drove from Los Angeles to Lancaster, from LAX Airport to Lancaster. There was fires on the side of the road. It was very dry there. You know, all it takes is like a bolt of lightning and boom, all of a sudden there's a fire in California. When we drove to the coast, my wife and I, to just drive a little ways up the coast, on the way over, we could see this valley's filled with smoke. Everything was on fire. And sometimes you hear that out in California, they have, especially during the dry season, or out in some of the western states, they have these huge fires that burn for acres and acres, hundreds of thousands of acres. And sometimes it's because one person was careless and a small little fire that they might have left unattended or not put out, or somebody may have even taken a cigarette and thrown it out their window, and just that little spark, and you could have literally thousands and thousands and thousands of acres of fire, of land destroyed and demolished because of the fire. Well, James uses that as an illustration with regards to the iniquity of the tongue. It can ignite things. We need to be careful of that. Proverbs says this, listen, where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. And so where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. Psalm 50, verse 19. Thou givest thy mouth to evil, and thy tongue frameth deceit. Thou sittest and speakest against thy brother. Thou slanderest thine own mother's son. Or Psalm 10, 7. His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and fraud. Under his tongue is mischief and vanity. Someone once said, listen, a hot head can lead to burning words. The things that we say can be very destructive. And how we treat those who we speak with. That's the nature of fire. Just a little spark can kindle a raging fire. One of the most famous fires that ever took place in the United States happened on October the 8th in 1871. In a place called the O'Leary Barn in Chicago, at 8:30 at night, a lantern was kicked over in that barn, and that barn caught on fire. And by the time that fire was done, there was 100,000 people who lived in Chicago that were left homeless. All of their homes had been destroyed by fire. 17,500 buildings had been destroyed. 300 people had died, and over $400 million worth of damage, which in the 1800s, $400 million is a lot of money today, amen? But $400 million is a lot of money in the 1800s. It's astronomical. Because someone accidentally kicked over a lantern and a fire got started. I remember evangelist Gerald Fielder was here once he was preaching, and he made just a little comment. You know, once it's, you say something and once the words are out, you can never take them and put them back in. They're already been said. So I love the scripture that says, be slow to speak, quick to listen, and slow to wrath. But who, like Ironside said, who of us hasn't at one time or another a slip of the tongue and said something that we shouldn't have, or uttered a faulty expression, or gave vent to idle or vain words? Well, all of us have. But we're reminded to be on guard with regards to that. The iniquity of the tongue. In verse number 6 again, a tongue is a fire and a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature and is set on the fire of hell. So James reminds us of this here. Listen, he says, the tongue is an important part of our body, what we say. And he gives us these illustrations, and he says, be careful, because out of the tongue there can be great iniquity. He even goes on in verses 7 and 8, he talks about the incorrigibility of the tongue, the fact that it can't be tamed. Every kind of beast, he says in verse 7, birds and serpents and the things in the sea, these things can all be tamed and have been tamed of mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. You know, even when I was a lost person, I was just raised this way. We in my family, and I thank the Lord for this, my mom and dad were both Christians. I was not raised in a home where you heard a lot of foul language. If you've been raised in a home, sometimes it's hard. If you've been raised in a home where where you heard constantly all kinds of four-letter words and that kind of talk. And I just didn't have to experience that. I thank God for that. So even as a lost person, that wasn't really one of the weaknesses. I had plenty of other weaknesses, but that particular area, I just never was a person who used that kind of language. But it's amazing sometimes when you're around and you hear it. I've told this story before. I was right over here one day filling my gas tank full of gas, and I've got the gas pump going there, and all of a sudden the thing didn't shut off, and there's gas coming out all over the place. And I used a profanity, and I stopped. This was many, many years ago. And it just stopped, and I thought, wow, where did that come from? Well, when you constantly are in a world and you hear that and you're bombarded with that and it just consumes, the tongue, no man can tame. So we go and we ask the Holy Spirit of God to guide us and to direct us and to bring conviction and instruction, and we depend upon the grace of God. But listen, and if you were raised in a home where that was part of your lifestyle before you became a Christian, you know, and all of us, we bring things into our Christian life, we need the grace of God for victory in those areas. There was a man in our church for years who he was raised, he didn't come to know Christ until he was, I'm not sure, but I would say probably in his 50s. I'm not 100% sure he was in his 50s, but at least his 50s. But that was his whole life. He had always used that kind of language. And in fact, sometimes it would slip. He literally would leave services and he would tell me that was, well, I'm not going to repeat what he said, but that was a blank sermon. But he meant it in a good way. And he didn't even realize what he was saying. It was a part of him. He needed the grace of God. And if you knew him prior to that, he used a lot of foul language all the time, but every now and then it would slip out. It's part of that old nature that wants to creep back up and take control. But you know what? Let's just take that kind of language out of the picture for a minute. How about in our homes? You know, you don't have to use a four-letter word to use destructive talk, do you? You don't. You and I, as moms and dads, we need to be careful that we don't use words that are demeaning to our children, are destructive to them. Now, most of us, if we were honest, we would say at some time or another we lost our temper and we said things that we shouldn't have said. Well, we need to get those things right. By the way, we just can't make an excuse, and we can't say, well, that's just one area of my life. I've never been able to get control over that. Wait a minute, that's what the grace of God is for. The incorrigibility of the tongue. The Scriptures do teach us, amen, that greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world, amen? So we have the Holy Spirit of God to help us and to guide us and to direct us. So when Paul writes to the church in Ephesus and he says, let no filthy communication proceed out of thy mouth. By the way, I don't think he's just talking about four-letter words, what we would think of in that vein. But he's just talking about destructive language. He's talking about gossip and talebearing and things of that nature. And you might say, well, preacher, is that going on? You know, do you know of that? Are you bringing this message because of that? Not in any specifics, but let's face it. And I'm not saying I'm preaching this message because there's this problem in our church. There may be and there may not be. The point is, it's part of the Word of God, and we need to be reminded of it on a regular basis. Amen? And or in our homes or wherever we are. So I don't want you to think, wow, there must be a real problem with gossip, a real problem with tale-bearing, or real... I'm not saying that there is or there isn't. The point of bringing the message is let's make sure that there never is. Amen? Because the tongue can be incorrigible and inconsistent. Look at verse 9 through 12. The inconsistencies. Doth a fountain bring forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Well, the answer to that is no. Is it why? Verse 8. Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? No. either of vine figs? No. So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Verse 10, he says, out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. So we come to church on Sunday morning. We sing, oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because He first loved me. And whatever else we sing, and we praise God, and we should. But when we get back in the car, when we get back to our homes, we go to work or school the next day, how does that play out? Only you know. We're inconsistent. The psalmist said, I said, I will take heed to my ways that I sin not with my tongue, and I will keep my mouth with a bridle, that the wicked is before me. Proverbs 18:14, the mouth of a righteous man is a well of life. Proverbs 10:11, the law of the wise is a fountain of life. It's interesting, but it's just, I'm going to finish here. Turn over the book of Ephesians, if you will. Go to Ephesians chapter number 4 and verse 29. This is the verse I quoted earlier, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29. I remember as you're turning there, I was just a young Christian and there was several other young Christians involved in the church at the time, and we went to someone's house, and this fellow that we were trying to encourage to accept the Lord or follow the Lord there was, and there was another fellow there who had claimed to be a Christian. And it was kind of like a social gathering, and this fellow was out in the back, and he was kind of using all kinds of really bad language. So the other fellow, he made that comment. He said, wow, he said, I could speak like that. And I thought that guy said he was a Christian. See, it brings a bad testimony. So the Bible says this, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. That word most of you know, of course, is to build up. That it may minister grace unto the hearers. And then it's interesting, but the next verse is verse 30, which tells us, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. So when you and I, when we speak in such a way that James warns us about here, and the iniquity that's involved in it, what we're really doing is we're really grieving the Holy Spirit that dwells within each of us. Look what it says in verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice and be kind to one another, tenderhearted. So we're really, when we speak that way, what we're doing is we're robbing ourselves of the power of the Spirit of God in our lives. We're throwing that word quench there. It's like taking water and throwing it on a fire. Well, what we need to do is we need to take the Spirit of God and throw the Spirit of God on that fire, that tongue, that those words that are just coming out that are so destructive. Chapter 5 of the book of Ephesians, look at verse 4. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather to the giving of thanks. Oh, go back to verse 3. Back to verse 2. And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking. Well, you wouldn't think of the words that come out of your mouth and the language that you use. Here, the Apostle Paul, he brings this all together with things like fornication and covetousness. And I didn't point it out, but just quickly go back to chapter 4. But look at verse number 25. He put away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor. Be angry and sin not. Neither give place to the devil. Verse 27. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather him that labor. Well, some of us would never think about stealing. But some of the things that we say are joined in with all of that. So, the importance of the tongue, we need to remember that. Then, just two books further. Colossians speaks of this as well. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 8. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 8. You're in the book of Ephesians. You go from the book of Ephesians to the book of Philippians, and then the next book is the book of Colossians. Paul instructs the believers there. And by the way, why do you think Paul is instructing the believers and James is instructing the believers? Because apparently the believers had an issue with what they were saying. And they needed that instruction. Chapter 3 and verse 8. But now ye also put off these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man and his deeds, and you have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. And so, you know, we can get into such a habit where this is the way and what we've said and this is how we've been and we know this is a weakness in our life and we just live with it. Well, we're quenching the Spirit of God. And when you quench the Spirit of God, it will have an impact on every aspect of your life. It really will. Now, I promise that I am done with this verse. Chapter 25, or Matthew 12, 35, and I'm done with it, and we're done with this message. Matthew chapter 12, because I want to finish with this. Matthew 12 and verses 35 through 37. Jesus said, "A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things." So here Jesus links things to the heart. Listen, what comes out of your mouth is an indication of the condition of your heart. If your language is destructive, if it pulls down, tears down, and is negative all the time, it is a picture of the condition of your heart. An evil man out of the evil treasures bringeth forth evil things, but I say unto you that, and this is what I quoted earlier, that every idle word that man shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by the words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. For the Lord puts a lot of importance on what we say. And it's a good indicator of where our heart is at. So, I bring this message to you this morning because it's important. Every message is important. But think about what you say. Think about how you say it. Think about when you say it. Think about who you say it to. Think about how you say it and where you say it. Because remember, the Lord hears. The Lord hears everything that we say. And all of us will give an account. All of us. None of us is perfect. We all wish we could take some words back and stick them back inside. But once you've said it, you can't. But when the Spirit of God, when the Holy Spirit of God brings conviction to your heart, you need to stop right then and there. And you need to realize that the communication out of my mouth is not righteous communication, it's unrighteous communication. And Holy Spirit, I acknowledge that, I recognize that, I realize it's a failing in my who I am and in my character. And now, Lord, I ask for your grace to overcome it. Well, you say, what happens, preacher, if half an hour later I've done that and I do the same thing? Then you go right back to the Lord and you ask for His grace. Once again. And you do it again, and you do it again, and you do it again. Listen, all of us have had, in my own personal life, I had things as a brand new Christian that I needed to have, that took me months months for the Lord to give me victory over those things. And there are still things that the Lord, I need to depend upon the Lord, many things to give me victory over. But that's what you do. You don't just settle and say, well, that's who I am. That's what I've always done. I've always had a trouble with my mouth. Well, Jesus went to the cross to die and pay not only for your sin, but to give you control over your mouth. Don't ever forget that. And so in some ways, when we have that attitude, we really trample on the cross of Christ. And we can have that victory. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father, as we finish this message this morning, I pray that we not forget what your word teaches us, both in the books of James and Colossians and in Ephesians, the book of Proverbs, the book of Psalms and the Gospels, all throughout the Scriptures. You speak to us, and to be careful about what we say and how we say it. And so I pray, Lord, that each and every day you'd bring these Scriptures back to our remembrance. And we lose our temper, that we get these things right with you. And we say things we ought not to say, that we get them right not only with you, but those whom we said them to. That you would just help us as you've promised to do. That we would depend upon your grace. Realize that in our weakness we can be strong through you. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand. And that number is 467 in our hymnal. 467. Maybe you might just take a few moments to bow your head before the Lord right where you're at. And just speak with the Lord. Maybe there's something that took place at school this week and some things that one of you students, one of you young people said, and you wish you hadn't said that. Maybe the Holy Spirit brought conviction at that moment, but you never really got that right with the Lord. Or maybe mom or dad or husband or wife in your home, you said something. It might not have been a four-letter word. Maybe it was just unkind. Maybe it was just unloving. Just right where you're standing this morning, might you get with the Lord and say, Lord, I realize that was something I shouldn't have said. And that's something I say or I do often. I need victory in that area of my life. I need victory.
Thank you for joining us for this broadcast. We hope that the message was an encouragement to you. If you are nearby, please consider being our guest this Sunday. For more information about Mount Greylock Baptist Church, or for answers about what it means to be a Christian, please contact us. We would love to hear from you. You can find more resources online at mountgreylockbaptist.com.